Psalm 46 and verse number 1. This is to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song of Alamoth. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Father, I pray this morning that you would still our hearts. God, our hope, our trust, our faith, our confidence would be in you and you alone this morning. In Christ's name I pray, amen. You may be seated. You know, the truth is, even if it was just my wife and kids and I that showed up this morning, I'd still be preaching to them today, all right? So it's a good thing you came, because we were going to have a long altar call and a family revival time if you didn't. My prayer is that when you leave after this morning's message, that you will carry this psalm with you in your hearts. Be still. Be still. What we have experienced as a nation, as a state, as a community, really over the past few weeks, is anything we've ever dealt with as far as the repercussions from. Everyone, it seems like, in some way or another, is either directly or indirectly affected by COVID-19. And it seems like every day there is new information that comes out. And with all of the updates, the new regulations, estimations, predictions, it seems like it's ever-changing, isn't it? The story, it seems like, changes every day. But this remains. God is God. He is still on the throne, and he is still in control. Amen?
Amen.
And something that hasn't changed is the cross. Something that hasn't changed is your salvation, is your hope in Christ, is your eternal security and the love of Christ. Remember, the Bible still says nothing will ever separate us from the love of Christ. Amen?
Amen?
That has not changed. Over at least the next few weeks, there are a few issues and problems we may have to deal with because of this virus. But I also see this as a time of opportunity. It really is. Let me give you three opportunities, and maybe you think, what opportunity are you talking about? And let me give you three this morning. I'm going to focus on one primarily, but I want to highlight a few others. The first opportunity that you have in the midst of all of this chaos and things that's going on is that we have the opportunity to provide answers in the midst of questions. Now, understand me when I say this. Millions of Americans right now have eternity on their minds and on their hearts. They are maybe, some of them, for the first time actually considering their own mortality. They are thinking about the afterlife. And we have an unprecedented opportunity to point our friends, our family, and our co-workers to Jesus Christ. And this is unlike anything we have ever had as far as an opportunity like this in the United States. People are going to be asking questions that they have never asked before. They're considering death. They're trying to plan. They're trying to prepare. Let's be sure that the number one hope that we give them is Jesus. Is Jesus. And look, the assurance of our salvation is in Christ. Remember, Hebrews 6:19, it tells us this. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. People, it seems like, in what is going on are just being carried one way and the other, and they seem so unstable. Let us be there as believers to say, hey, we found an anchor for our soul. And friend, he'll be your anchor as well. I'm praying that there would be thousands and thousands of people globally and really across our nation who will come to faith in Christ during this pandemic. Amen. 1 Peter 3:15, it admonishes us, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. While the world is panicking and they see you as a believer, firm and steadfast, and they look at the hope that you have and they wonder and maybe even ask, what reason do you have to hope? Let us be ready to give them an answer. There are opportunities all around us to share the gospel with people during this time. Don't miss that opportunity. Don't miss it, because you won't know how long you have it. The second opportunity I see is that this is an opportunity to show love in the midst of selfishness. Almost always during a crisis, our first focus is me. It's me. Ourselves. And we have to be careful as believers that we aren't being selfish. You know, Philippians 2 and verse number 3, let me remind you, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, notice, but every man also on the things of others. You know, our current situation doesn't exempt us from this. It doesn't mean, well, this is an excuse that we get to be selfish now and think of ourselves. No, Scripture says as believers, we're to put ourselves last and put others in front of us. See, we have an opportunity here to show the love of Christ to people around us. When the world is being selfish and stingy and hoarding, believers, we can show the love of Christ. Look for opportunities. Here's what I want to challenge you to do. Look for opportunities to show the love of Christ to people around you. Listen, think about this for just a few seconds, all right? Now, maybe you're forced, because I know a lot of folks during these next 3 weeks, if anything, they're without work. And so maybe if you were forced to stay home for a few weeks without a paycheck, you would be fine financially. But the single mother with 3 kids who is now forced to stay home, she may not be. You understand what I'm saying? So you're not able to help everyone. I understand that. But at least during this time, look for an opportunity to help someone, all right? Check on your neighbors, for Pete's sake. Do they have groceries, right? And check on the elderly. And we have somewhat of an opportunity as a church to be a blessing to some people as well. Let me just share with you briefly. And you know, it was just a couple days ago, I briefly sat down with a few church leaders from Circleville and the superintendent from Circleville City Schools. And because of the school closing down for 3 weeks, that leaves a lot of children without breakfast and without lunch. And so Circleville City Schools are going to provide lunch for everyone 3 years old to 19 years old over the next 3 weeks, Monday through Friday. They don't have to attend Circleville City Schools to get that. And they will actually run transportation, Elsie's Trailer Park, as well as Twin Oaks Apartments. They're going to pick up every day, Monday through Friday, bring people to the Pickaway Ross Mound Street location. And they're going to pull up with a bus. Volunteers are going to get on the bus, hand out a bunch of bags of food, and get back off, and they'll take them back home. And they're going to offer that, but at the same time, they can only do lunch. They can't do breakfast. So they were reaching out to churches locally to say, hey, would you be able to help to provide lunch for these kids, or excuse me, breakfast for these kids who may not otherwise get it over these next 3 weeks? And so as a church, we're going to financially help with that, but they also need volunteers. They need people to pack the lunches. They need people to hand out the lunches. They need people to be on location. And so if you're interested in serve, all I'm saying is there are plenty of opportunities around you to show the love of Christ to someone. And if you're interested in helping with that, please see me after service. I'll give you a link where you can go online and volunteer for a certain block of time, okay? And so we want to be the arms and the hands and feet of Jesus during this time. Let it not be said that Christians are the ones being selfish. You best not be pushing anybody out of the way down at the store is what I'm saying. You feel me? We can show love in the midst of selfishness. We can provide answers in the midst of questions. But thirdly, we have an opportunity to display peace in the midst of chaos. To display peace in the midst of chaos. And this is the point that I mainly want to focus on this morning. And this is where I'll turn our attention back to our opening passage. We say that we have the peace that passes all understanding, but do we show it in moments of crisis? My goal this morning is not to give you my opinion on the coronavirus. I'm sure you've heard enough of those this week. And besides the fact I'm not a politician, I'm definitely not a physician or a nurse, but I'm a preacher, so I'm going to preach this morning. Amen. Psalm 46 in verse 1. God is our refuge. He is our refuge. He is our shelter. He is our protection. He is our safety. He is our asylum. He is our sanctuary. When everything else is insecure, He is our security. God is our refuge. He is not only our refuge, but it says He is also our strength. Where do you turn, Christian, when you need strength? Do you look to the government? To your bank account? To the media? To news? Where do you look? He is our strength as believers. Notice this, very present help in trouble. He is our refuge. Verse 2 says, therefore, what's the therefore, therefore? Because God is our refuge, because He is our strength, because He is a present help in time of trouble, therefore will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake, we will not fear. We will not be afraid. This doesn't mean that as believers that we're arrogant, again, or that we try and tempt the Lord. Use wisdom, okay? But at the same time, there is always something to be afraid of. The world will always give you something to fear. Whether it's the flu, a plague, war, there will always be a reason to fear. You know, I found it interesting. Last year in 2019, a lot of you have the Bible app on your phone, the YouVersion Bible app. It's got kind of the app looks like a brown Bible, and it's got Holy Bible written across the front. That's what the app looks like, the icon. And in the YouVersion Bible app in 2019, the most searched verse all year, the most searched verse in 2019 from all people who put in a verse and they were looking for a particular verse, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. You know, what does that tell us? that there are a lot of people who are anxious. But do you know what the most repeated command is in all of Scriptures? Do not fear. In all of the Bible, the most repeated command over and over again, God says, don't fear, don't fear, don't fear. How is this possible? Why? Why should we not fear? Because we know where our help comes from. And our help comes from the Lord. You remember those tremendous words from the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the Philippians? You know, he said this in Philippians 1 verse 20. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ, notice this, shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Verse number 21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen. To die is gain. For the Christian, it is a win-win situation every single time. Paul says, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I think some of what we're seeing, especially in our nation, is what happens when the thing you put your trust in is ripped away from you. What happens when where you find your security is taken? What do people do? I am not moved because he is not moved. 1 Samuel 2:2 says this, there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. There are people who are clinging to their bank account. They're clinging to their job. They're clinging to their health. Friend, there is no rock that you can find like our God. There is nothing as firm as the Lord. There is no foundation upon which you can stand that is more stable than God Almighty. Amen. And that is the rock that we go to. Look again to Psalm 46 and verse number 6. It says this, the heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. But, verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Even though the lost, even though the heathen are raging, there is panic, there is fear, there is turmoil, the world is melting. But God is with us. And he is our refuge. The Lord reigns. Even though the world panics, we have an unshakable confidence. God is our refuge. He's with us. He's with us. In Psalm 93 and verse 1, let me give you some more wonderful truth this morning. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. The Bible says God reigns. He is reigning. And I want you to understand something. It doesn't say he will reign. It doesn't say he did reign. It says the Lord reigns right now, present tense, in our time of trouble. He reigns. In this very moment, he reigns. No matter what happens, he reigns. Not just in the Old Testament, he reigns in the New Testament, in the new age of the church as well. Psalm 93 and verse 2 says this, thy throne is established of old, thou art from everlasting. How long has God been reigning? Long before this world was created, long after it's going to be gone, the Lord will still be reigning. God is sovereign over all. You know, one of my favorite quotes from A.W. Tozier, you've heard me use before, and I've seen some of our people sharing it this week, says this, while it looks like things are out of control, behind the scenes, there is a God who has not surrendered his authority. You think he's given up his authority during this time? Not a chance. The only thing worse than facing a global pandemic is facing a global pandemic without a sovereign God. Because then where would we put our hope and confidence? Where is the anchor for your soul? Where is your strength? Where does your help come from? Let me give you a few amazing truths today. God never worries and he never hurries. Did you know that? God never worries and he never hurries. He reigns. He reigns. This is the ultimate truth in all of the universe. That God is and that he reigns. That God is existing and that he is controlling all things that are existing. He reigns. You don't have to wait for the return of Christ for God to reign. He's reigning right now in this present time of trouble. He's reigning in America, in China, in Brazil, over the entire universe. There has never been a moment in all of history, eternity past or eternity future, where he has not nor will not reign. He reigns. I want to turn your attention away from Psalms for a moment to the prophetical book of Isaiah, chapter 6 and verse number 1. This passage begins with a very, very important statement. In the year that King Uzziah died. Let me stop there for just a second. In the year that King Uzziah died. The year was around 740 BC. That's the year that this verse is referring to. Uzziah was the king of Israel, king of the southern tribes. And Uzziah had reigned for 52 years. He was reigning at the beginning of Isaiah's ministry. Uzziah was a beloved king. He had reigned for 52 years and brought great security to Jerusalem. He had fortified the city. He had done much for the city. They had experienced peace during his time as king, but now he died. The northern kingdom of Israel was taken captive by invaders. The southern kingdom was attacked by Syria. The stability that they once had was gone. Their king, their leader, their ruler was dead. Now they were vulnerable to foreign attacks. Now things were unstable. Now fear and worry filled Jerusalem more than ever. But in verse 1 it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Isaiah says, in the year that we lost our human king, I saw the real king. The earthly king was off his throne, but the King of Kings still remained on his. He says, I saw the Lord. That is the word Adonai. Adonai means the sovereign one, the one who reigns. He says, when I saw the king die, I saw the Lord seated on his throne. Where is he? He's on the throne. When the world is out of control, God is still on the throne. And when the world is falling apart, we have a God who isn't. And as a matter of fact, he sits there unmoved, undisturbed, not in the least bit shaken. He sits on the throne. His robe is spilling down over the side of his seat and it's filling the temple. The seraphim continue to fly around the throne. They possess six wings. You see, in that time, Isaiah
when he saw God, his response was, "Woe is me. I am undone." He had seen a glimpse of the holiness of God. And he said, "Woe is me." Why would Isaiah respond that way? Well, for the first time, Isaiah saw God. And for the first time, Isaiah saw himself. And when he saw God for who he was, he saw himself for who he was. Unclean, sinner, before a holy and just God. And while the world is shaking, and while Jerusalem is trembling, God sits on the throne. The seraphim, they continue to fly around his throne. Again, they possess six wings. The seraphim were angelic beings. Six wings. Two wings they fly. With two wings they cover their feet. It's interesting. I'm almost reminded of the story of Moses and the burning bush. Remember when God had called Moses near to him, and then he said, "Remove your shoes, for the ground in which you stand is holy ground." Moses had no doubt walked upon that ground umpteen times in his life. But what made the difference? Well, God was there, and so that sanctified the ground. The cherubim cover their feet. Two to fly, two to cover their feet, and two to cover their face. I'm reminded again of Moses, who said to God, "God, show me your glory." And God says, "I can't show you my glory, Moses. You will die. You cannot see me and live." So he says, "What I'll do is I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll pass by, and you can see me just for a moment from the back." They fly. Two to fly, two to cover their feet, two to cover their face. No creature can truly stand in the presence of God, behold his glory for who he is, and live. I assure you, in all of the fear that Israel had, in all of the panic, in all of the dread on earth, I assure you of this, in all of that fear, not for a single moment did these angelic beings cease from crying one to another, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord of hosts, the earth is filled with his glory." And while the world is out of control, heaven is not. It's not. In all of our panic, in our current situation, listen to me this morning. God is on the throne, and he hasn't even budged. He hasn't even adjusted in his seat. He hasn't even sat forward. He remains. He is not shaken. He is not moved. And hear me this morning. The one who sits on that throne calls out to us, and he invites you to put your faith in him. Look, when the world is shaken, God is not. We have a hope in Jesus Christ that can never be taken away from us. Not in this life, not in the next. What and who could separate us from the love of Christ? Listen, if you're here this morning, and maybe you're not saved, you're not a believer, I can understand if you're in turmoil. I would be worried too. But our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Amen?
Amen.
And if you're here today and you are not saved, we're going to have a time where we're going to sing. I'm going to invite you to come. If you need to be saved, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is the devil's day. Today is God's day. Amen. The God who sits on the throne of heaven, unmoved, unshaken, undisturbed, he calls out to us from the Psalms. He says this, listen. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. From the throne, he says, be still. Would you stand with me this morning?